If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Well, top of the morning. Donald Trump visiting the White House today.
Yeah, today he gets to start learning the stuff that always makes the new presidents come out with a startled look on their face.
Yeah.
By the way, you know, all these things we've been had rumors about for years, they're all true.
Yeah. And they are there
and
in
now,
New Mexico.
And now you're in charge of them.
Yeah. You know, he'll be checking out the digs, the White House and stuff, but, you know, that's okay. Lots of people his age are downsizing, you know?
This is for him.
Yeah. I would imagine, wouldn't you?
He only gets to live on one floor of the White House.
Yeah. That's amazing. He probably lives in bigger
digs. He's the first billionaire to be elected president of the United States. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of rich people that have served as president, but he's the first one whose net worth is actually in Forbes magazine is more than $1 billion. We're not completely sure how much money he has, but from what I've heard, I've never met apparently there's never been a billionaire who knew exactly down to the dollar how much money he had anyway. Because the value changes every day based on what they've got their money in.
What about President Rockefeller?
Well, we never had one of those. We did have Vice President Rockefeller, Nelson Rockefeller.
I know. I was just testing to see if you were paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Paying attention.
And, the Rockefellers were plenty rich.
Mm-hmm.
John D. Rockefeller, in fact, was the first billionaire. First guy to actually collect.
Really?
Yeah, first guy to actually have over $1 billion. And I thought this was kind of funny. Now, I'm sure everybody appreciated it because of what this could buy at the time. But it seems chintzy by today's standards that when he became a billionaire and it was certified that he had $1 billion, he went out into the streets of New York and handed out dimes. Now, again,
of course, a dime would buy you two candy bars.
Well, at that time, a dime could probably get you dinner. But we're talking John D. Rockefeller, the old guy.
What year was that?
Oh, late 1800s, I think.
Maybe.
Not sure.
Maybe. Maybe it'd get you dinner.
Let me see if it was after the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Move on, whilst I look this up.
Yeah, okay. Well, we do have a phone call. We have Jim of Boise. And let's go to him now and find out what's on his mind. Jim, good morning.
Morning. I was just going to ask you all, what previous president does Trump remind you of?
Nixon.
No, I would say Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson was an outsider and was thought of, I think, by his so-called countrymen as a bumpkin. And that's what I read through history.
Do you think people think Trump is a bumpkin?
Well, a bumpkin meaning...
Bumpkins are like, you know, living in shacks.
Well, a bumpkin,
hillbilly.
A bumpkin meaning outside the...
outside the norm?
Right. Outside the establishment.
Well, with that definition, yeah.
So from what you know of Andrew Jackson, isn't that the feeling you get?
Well, yeah, and what's funny is if you look at pictures of them, they kind of both posed in similar ways and had that kind of iron look about them when they're looking into a camera. But then again, so did Mussolini.
Well, you know... everybody references everything these days to Hitler, for instance, right?
No, yeah. He said Mussolini.
I know.
totally different.
I know. But remember in Germany, and I'm not saying that Trump is Hitler by no means, but remember when Hitler was coming to power, you know, the thing was Germany awake. Anyway, but I think that Trump reminds me of... Andrew Jackson, the outsider and the shaker-upper, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jackson was a military guy, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And Trump, Trump did go to military school, as did I. So Trump had about as much military as George W. Bush.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll take care, y'all.
Jim's in rare form today. Thanks, Jim.
Well, he's got some apt comparisons there.
I wouldn't have thought of Andrew Jackson.
Okay, we've had...
Once he brings it up, though, you know.
See, one, two. Okay, well, I was about to say we've had several presidents in a row without military experience, but technically George W. Bush was in the Texas Air National Guard, and that's military experience.
For 15 minutes.
Well, you know, he was in it, but Bill Clinton never served, and Barack Obama never served, and also...
Elder Bush?
No, the Elder Bush
he was in World War II.
He was shot down in World War II. Yeah, he did as much as he could. But Trump has also never served, is what I'm saying. So yeah. I'm counting him in the list now.
So we got a roll going.
I'm still not finding the exact year that Rockefeller passed $1 billion.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. What do you think about these? Are you surprised at the upset? Well, I'm not surprised at the upset people, but are you surprised at the demonstrations around the country?
No, not entirely.
Really?
I don't think they're going to do any good, and I think they're a tremendous they're a tremendous waste of time. But I'm not surprised by them.
That was actually my question for both of you guys today. And I'm glad you guys brought it up. Is that with all the demonstrations going on? I mean, I think Seattle had
disembodied voices. Kevin, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. By the way, I'm Kevin. Yeah. So Seattle had around 2,600 people. New York had around 5,000 people. Boise had around 45 people. Big difference. But yeah. Being a protest and everything like that, there's really nothing that these protests can do. I mean, it's set.
Well, they're protesting the system that this country was based on. How stupid is that?
But they can't get Trump removed from what has already been set in unless there's an impeachment. But in order for that to happen,
he has to be sworn in.
Here's one thing that gets me. A lot of people are saying, well, we shouldn't have this. You know, we shouldn't have this electoral college. We should have just a regular vote. As if they just found out about it for the first time yesterday.
Yeah.
No, we've had that since Washington.
Yeah. It's silly. Well, now we've talked about not having the electoral college in which the big cities would control everything. And this was kind of... rural America, I don't know if I'm going to say rural America's last stand. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's rural America's first stand, where they decided to go to the polls and didn't like to see the direction the country was headed in. And a lot of them are uncomfortable with a lot of things that have happened in this country over the past 20, 25 years. So I think they stood up and were heard. But the protesting the system, which works the way it's always worked, does that seem a little ridiculous to you?
I don't know. It's just our system.
Okay, we're way behind. 847.
A shooting suspect is still on the loose. Police say he could be armed and dangerous. Details straight ahead on 670 KBOI. Back now to Paul Jay and Chris.
Got the answers
to it. This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
Couple
Chris,
of questions.
Wait your turn.
Well, I thought it was my turn.
Okay, go.
Forgot about disembodied voice guy. answer to a couple of questions I was asking myself. John D. Rockefeller became a billionaire for the first time in 1916, mm-hmm. which was 5 years after Congress basically broke up U.S. Steel because they had a monopoly. But it all worked out well for Rockefeller. He ended up he was worth $1 billion in 1916, and he went to the streets of New York and gave out dimes. Now, in 1916, in New York City, you could get a steak for 10 cents. It was not at Delmonico's, but you could go to essentially a lunch counter and get yourself steak and a potato for 10 cents, or you could get halibut or pork chops or whatever.
So you can go to Sizzler.
Well, yeah, basically the equivalent of Sizzler or the
lunch counters, like you said, which were everywhere.
Woolworth and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Rich joins us. Rich, good morning.
Hey, morning, Paul. Hey, I think that story that you keep saying that the big cities control would control the vote.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said the big cities could. There are more people in the 8 big cities than the rest of the country. There you go.
I think you need to go back and reread that story that you read. I think you've got it backwards. The 11 biggest states, all you need is 51% of the vote in the 11 biggest states to win. You could win the presidency with 26% of the vote. And in those 11 biggest states, the big cities control the electoral vote. I mean, if you saw those maps, like the reason why Obama won Pennsylvania and Florida was all the electoral votes, because they only carried the big cities. I think you need to go back and reread that. I think you got it backwards, because that doesn't make any sense.
Well, okay, the 11 big cities would give you the electoral votes in the 11 biggest states, or however many. Some states probably have 2 big cities, although maybe not. But if you win New York City, you're going to win the electoral votes in New York. If you win Detroit big, you probably would win Michigan. If you win Chicago, you definitely will win Illinois. Los Angeles, you'll definitely win California. Dallas may or may not win. I don't know if Houston's in there or not. Texas. Phoenix, you'll win Arizona. See what I'm saying here?
Well, no, yeah, I know what you're trying to say. I'm saying you've got it backwards. The electoral votes are controlled by the big cities.
That's what I'm saying.
The popular. Oh, you were saying earlier that the big cities.
I never said popular votes. I said you could win the election if you had the 11 biggest cities, which would control the states that they are in and give you all the electoral votes. We got to go. KBOI News Time, 8:56. We'll be back.
We're talking about it.
It's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. It is a Thursday morning. Kevin just asked me the question. There's a story out there circulating that Donald Trump is going to appoint his son to the cabinet. He can't do that due to a 1967 anti-nepotism law, which was passed mainly because of Robert F. Kennedy being the attorney general in John F. Kennedy's cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Lyndon Johnson was really the guy that pushed this because he felt if something happened to Kennedy, that Robert Kennedy somehow would become president and he would be left out. So he kind of pushed that, and that got through, and that's why if Hillary had been elected, Bill Clinton could not have served in her cabinet either. Because
or Chelsea, right?
Yeah, anybody. No immediate family members. Yeah, and Chelsea was another one that was rumored to be something.
Got an instant message here from Sheldon. He says, despite the absolute despair liberals are feeling nationwide, I still believe people are inherently good. Sounds like Anne Frank, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We are slowly starting to realize in the grand scheme of things, we will all be okay.
No question.
But then I hear Congressman Labrador speak along with Senator McConnell and Speaker Ryan. They look and sound like a salivating carnivore who just stumbled across an enormous pile of bloody fresh meat. The comment on Obamacare, they comment on Obamacare like it is a prisoner being led to the guillotine through the crowded streets of a cheering populace. Will they repeal it and leave 21 million people without health care?
Some of those people, Chris, as we talked about yesterday, will be Republicans.
Yeah, leave those most vulnerable without protection and coverage while giving the most wealthy tax relief. I have to assume they won't. If they do this as they have promised, then we will see yet another tidal wave of change in just 2 years. America is fickle, and we love to fire politicians, and hopefully our soon-to-be Republican-dominated government realizes this before they get too carried away ripping services and programs that help our society while favoring the wealthy. That isn't American.
Yeah, President Trump has already kind of backed off on his build the wall thing. We have the governor on the line. Governor Butch Otter joins us. Governor, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Good. You know, I wouldn't worry too much about nepotism. There probably isn't a cabinet member in the history of the United States or today that wouldn't rather be able to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with the president every day. And who would have the most influence?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, good point.
Paul, think of your breakfast table. Chris, think of your lunch table. Mm-hmm. Think of the time you spend with your family. Now, who has the most influence on you?
Yeah, good point.
You have that correct. Recap the elections. How do you feel about them, Governor? What good night to be a Republican, I guess, huh?
Well, it was a good night to be a Republican, and I enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised. As I look at it, I just keep thinking, my gosh, what if a few years back when the popular vote for a president always exceeded the, or several times exceeded the electoral vote, where would Idaho be? And we'd be nowhere. So anyway, my point is, it reaffirmed, I think, the value that we have and the founding, value the founders put in the Electoral College.
Yeah, and that's what always they've always said, that the Electoral College was meant for the states with smaller populations.
Precisely. Probably the biggest argument, Chris, between May 25th and September 17th of 1787 was trying to protect the small states from the large states.
Yeah, that's very true. Was this a rising up of rural America, as some have said?
Well, if you take a look at that map, I don't know if you've seen that red and blue map.
Yep.
That was being shown on every media outlet, including MSNBC, Fox, CNN, you name it. That map showed where rural America really had carried the Trump message and the Trump vote and the Trump promise.
So like a jelly donut, it's red in the middle.
I don't eat jelly donuts.
Okay, you'll have to take my word for that.
But I can tell you this, Chris. That I don't know. It'd be more jelly than donuts if you were making the map.
What effect do you think Republican President, Republican House, Republican Senate nationally will have on Idaho?
Well, I can tell you, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good for Idaho. Because we've got a good delegation back there, pretty soon realism will grip them back there. I remember when I went back there with George Bush,
yep.
and we had those kinds of opportunities, and everybody thought, oh my gosh, the Republicans are going to come down with this crushing blow. Well, pretty soon you got to govern, and if you're going to be able to go forward, you got to build some consensus. And so you don't need to lose your principles, but you still have to. If you're going to go forward, you got to build consensus.
Governor, I know this whole week we've got one basic subject, but on another note, how did the trade mission to China go?
The China mission went great. It took 14 companies and the University of Idaho. And I believe we get a two-week report after we get back in 2 weeks. Then we get a report from each of the company of how they did. But the reports that we were getting, we had one company that had 7 meetings and made 5 sales. We had other folks. The Wheat Commission was with us, the Potato Commission, and of course, in the Potato Commission, they still have a boycott on fresh potatoes into China. But we were making some headways. I had a lot of government meetings, and I think we at least got on a talking basis. But that's one thing that I've noticed on all the trade missions I've gone on, and I think my numbers now about 27 or 28. I don't need another trip anywhere. If I'm going to go on a trip, I want to sell some groceries. But the trade agreements that we have with these other countries are good agreements. They're just enforced terribly. We don't hold the other side to their side of the agreement. And so Trump is absolutely right. NAFTA isn't all that bad, except that we let the Canadians get away. We let the Mexican government get away with a lot of artificial barriers to trade.
Will the election of Donald Trump affect the trade in a positive way or negative?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of vetting on whether it's going to be positive or negative. Once you start setting up, you know, Hans J. Morgenthau said many, 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 many years ago that when food doesn't cross borders, troops will. In other words, people need something. And Hitler was a pretty good example with the Alsace-Lorraine. You know, he wanted the coal and he wanted the iron for his war machine. And he couldn't get it. They were going to keep him out of there. And so he just went in and took it away from him and then took it over. But when you start setting up artificial trade barriers, duties, fees, quotas, that sort of thing in international trade, there's always going to be a reaction. And that reaction generally ends up negative.
How about the economic health of the state of Idaho? Boise obviously booming with all the construction. How's the rest of the state out there?
The state of Idaho is really in great shape. You know, when we went into the recession, we said we were going to have to do certain things with some discipline in order to be able to come out of the recession strong. And because we didn't raise taxes, because we took the kind of austere attitude toward the budgets, we really came out pretty good. So at 3.8% unemployment, you know, it's not that way all over the state, but it's pretty good compared to the national average and compared to the other states around us. I talked to Chris Sununu yesterday morning early. He's the new governor of New Hampshire, and I've served with his brother, and you've seen his dad all the time on Fox News. And Chris said that he used Idaho constantly, and he used Butch Otter's name constantly, he said, because these guys are stealing our jobs. It was just the way we governed. So the bottom line is Idaho is in great shape. I think you've already heard the surpluses that we're ending up with, which can cause good things to happen, but also can cause bad things to happen. So we got to be really careful with our surpluses. We got to make sure our savings accounts are up. In your home, Paul, in your home, Chris, if you were to go to a financial advisor, he would say, well, we don't know what KBI is going to do. So you need to have 6 months of your necessary cash flow. So for your home payment, car payment, if you have those, whatever you need to make sure that your home is stabilized, if you happen to lose your job, I'm not suggesting you should, but you need to have 6 months in the bank, at least 6 months in the bank. And so at a $300 million budget that we have in Idaho, we should probably have eventually get to twice as much as we've got right now, and right now we've got about $350 to $400 million in savings.
All right, Governor, appreciate you joining us this morning, and what are you going to do with your time before the legislature kicks in?
Well, we're still trying to finalize the budget. I need to present that budget to JFAC by December 15th. And so I got to be ready for that. And we've got a good, responsible budget. The agencies have been very careful. They want to be held accountable. They are being held accountable. Thank God for the consensus that the legislature and I reached a long time ago. We learned some things about ourselves during the recession, and we're not going to just throw those disciplines away because times are better.
All right. Thanks for
thanks for the visit. Right. You bet. Jelly donut, Chris.
Will do.
All right, bye.
Governor Butch Otter, it's 9:18. All right, we are back. KBOI rewards code HOOPS, H-O-O-P-S, as in basketball, HOOPS, which brings me to this. If you want to win a pair of tickets for Saturday afternoon, Boise State's men's basketball opener, season opener against Northwest College, 1 p.m. in the afternoon. You'll be done in plenty of time to watch the Bronco football game. Be caller number 3 at 336-3711. 336-3711. Win a pair of tickets for Saturday's men's basketball game at BSU. All right.
Got an instant message here from Curtis, and he says, I have to disagree with that instant message, the last one, which was from Sheldon. He says, I hope they do repeal Obamacare, because right now there are thousands of poor people that can't afford it. They can't afford the penalty at the end of the year that they stick them with because they can't afford it. Obamacare is a disaster, and it needs to be repealed. It serves the wealthy. You've got to make a great amount of money to be able to afford it and deductibles. So I hope they pull it back.
See, that's not true, though, because they have that sliding scale where they help you with your insurance. And if you don't make much money, they buy most of your insurance for you.
Well, I think what most people have said is it's the middle class that can't seem to afford it.
Yeah, so it's people that make some
money. Because when the insurance companies started providing cheaper premiums for some people, they just raised others.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true, and no system is perfect, and Lord knows I'm not going to the mat for Obamacare, but, I mean, at least this guy's got to realize that, there's a sliding scale and where a lot of people get help with their insurance. So it's not particularly going to pick on the poor people is what I'm saying, because a lot of them get it for nothing.
Yeah. Bruce of Nampa says, already speculation about Obama pardoning Hillary. Since when does an innocent person need a pardon? She is not currently officially charged with anything,
that's
right?
That's very true.
Or can Obama pardon a person who may have done or will ever do something illegal? No, a president cannot pardon you for future crimes.
No. Yeah, I saw that too, and went, she hasn't been charged with anything. And it sounds like she's not going to be.
You know, and if she happens to be between now and January 20th, he might pardon her. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the, as Governor Otter said, a lot of the stuff that you think you're going to go back there and do in the first 6 months, build a wall, get Hillary in jail, get all Muslims out, do all that stuff, you find that...
Mine takes more than 6 months to do.
Yeah. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. Happy Thursday. The winner of the basketball tickets, Bill Haro.
Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go to the phones. John of Napa. John, good morning.
Good morning. Happy Trump Thursday.
Okay.
It's been, I'm so relieved. I think we had one person in our little community that was, United States just got a reprieve, a stay of execution for 4 more years at least from what this Democrat, liberal Democrat government regime had planned for us. But I was kind of confused at why we lost our, actually Donald Trump actually lost this election. He's behind in the popular vote, and I was struggling to try to reconcile that. Is there that many parasites in our society that
it just wait. Now, just because people don't agree with you doesn't mean they're parasites.
It was people voting to themselves other people's money. That is parasitical.
Well,
I don't know how
they disagree with you philosophically.
Well, they want my money is what they want.
Well,
and they want,
yeah,
they
that's
want
one the, way of looking
their,
at it.
They want their government to give it to them. That's parasitical. I don't see how you can see it any other way.
Even if I agree with you, still, this whole thing doesn't work if we stand back and call each other names. That's ridiculous.
So I'm calling them names. Meanwhile, the Hillary people are down there burning stuff. And we're the bad guys?
No, they're bad guys, too.
No, and do you think that would have happened had Hillary won? No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I do.
You do?
Absolutely.
Well, I think you have a warped sense of people's...
It would have been a different group of people.
It would have been a different group of people, but, that's the way we are. That's the way that election was. It was so volatile that no matter what happened, stuff was going to happen.
I, I think the adults are finally in the White House, and that is all the childish stuff out there that they accuse us of that. They threaten us with that. Like, you know, almost everything, they accused Richard Nixon. Here's a good one for you. They accused Richard Nixon of using the IRS to attack his enemies.
Yeah.
And he did not. He talked about it. He said it a couple times, but he didn't actually do it. Loretta Lynch goes out and actually does that. This is the Democrat regime that accuses everybody else of the things that they actually are would like to do or are doing. And I can't see why our media, why are they going to, just because they're running for office, they're not held to the same standard that I would be if I had committed such a crime. Bill Clinton raped women, and Donald Trump was accused of it. There's a big difference, and yet it gets glossed over in the news media.
Why are your panties in a bunch? You won. You won.
No, we did not win. It just started. We just now have a foothold on the battlefield.
But you won the election.
No, we didn't.
Why are you so uptight? You didn't win the election?
No.
You got the House, you got the Senate, you got the presidency. What didn't you win?
We'll see. We'll see how well that works out.
The day there's no opposition to whoever's leading America, we have a dictatorship, so I'm still fine with this.
So you got to go out into the prison to get an opposition just to have an opposition? Is that, you have to have a criminal element to have an opposition? That's not what we're talking about.
Wasn't what I was talking about either.
No, he wasn't talking about that at all.
That's what you have.
So angry?
You have a criminal element being given legitimate stand in our government. That's why I'm angry about. Why is criminality legitimized in the political world? Why is it legitimate? That's what I'm angry about.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Well,
man, what would he have been like if they lost? Huh?
I don't know. I'm guessing. I'm guessing maybe asleep, because that's the opposite of that.
Well, you won. Come on.
Disgruntled vet wrote in to say pardon power, as we talked about last half hour, extends to every offense known to the law and may be exercised at any time after commission, even without charges. So he can, Obama we're talking about, he can, as presidents do in their final couple of days, they usually pardon lots of people and don't have to give a reason for it. And quite often it seems very shady, but people are usually just, okay, fine, you're in your last 2 days, get away.
Mm-hmm.
But he apparently can pardon Hillary Clinton for offenses she may or may not have committed, but
she has to be charged.
Again, you can't pardon somebody for something they're going to do in the future. So I still have my same answer as before. But yeah, you can pardon somebody whether they have been charged for something or not. You don't have to be charged. You're just going to say, oh, by the way, it's going to come up later that Hillary Clinton did this, but she's pardoned, so you can't do anything.
No. Let's go to Steve on line two. Steve.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good.
Oh, just on a little lighter note. You know, I heard yesterday it was so quiet in the White House, you couldn't even hear an email being deleted. Isn't that incredible?
Hmm.
Here's my line for the day. Here's my line for the day. Donald Trump is visiting President Obama in the White House.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Mr. Trump. Sooner or later, everybody has to downsize.
Exactly. Hey, you know what, though, Paul? Okay, one more thing. See, this is the thing. The talk radios and the conservative stations were telling, don't believe these polls, man. They're not true. Then they caught Podesta in his emails training people on how to poll up to 15-20% more Democrats when you ask them. So they hit all the campuses, talk to the students, which you know where they're coming from, and then we hit all these places where they're going to get 15-20% more Democratic folks to give their opinion than the other ones. So what they had is 6, 8, 10, 12, and it was never true. And the bottom line is, and for another word for your buddy that got so angry, that's why Alexander Hamilton, the great man, they created the Electoral College for the very reason that you can't load up two or three big city states and no one else gets it. Look at that map. The whole map is red except for California, New York, and a couple of other states because they're welfare states. So the reason they did it is you can't do it that way. You got to let everybody, whoever wins their state by the population, it goes into the bunch, because if you went by the popular vote, one party or the other, you would never get another choice, because all you got to do is load up your states with population and you're good to go. So
yeah, and you know, laws that affect, you know, rural states, farming states,
right.
You know, that would never be passed.
Well, of course. And it's just and the same thing, Paul Jay. You know, the same thing applies, you know, like you're saying with the electoral vote, is they would never have a voice. It takes 12 states, man, to make up California's 55 electoral votes.
No question.
So you'd have to win 12 to 15 red states to even get California.
Well, that's what Trump did.
Well, exactly. That's what you have to do. So the Democrats are ahead in the electoral before it even begins, because you know they're going to get California 55. They're going to get New York is another huge amount. So they only need four or five states.
Yeah, it didn't work out, though, this time.
It did not this time, my friend. You know why? Because this is what happened. The college students that are so upset today and going to school, guess who came out to vote? Their moms and dads and their grandmas and grandpas and their aunts and uncles and the people that are paying the bills are the ones that came out to vote this time.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve.
And also they're
denigrate all college students.
Yeah. Also, they're much older cousins.
Yeah. Most of us become more conservative the older we get because we get positions, we get better jobs, we make money.
Yeah.
And we want to keep what's ours. It's a natural progression.
Unless you make a bad bet and lose everything, then you might
not.
Yeah,
not so much.
Let's see.
We got to take a break.
Okay, let's do that.
9:45.
Man from Ontario, Oregon was hit and killed along I-84 early this morning. Details on that and other local news after the top of the hour on 670 KBOI. Right now, back to Paul, Jay, and Chris.
All right. We are back at 9:50.
And now back to this.
Now more stuff.
Curtis of Boise says, now I want to see how many of the celebrities that threaten to move are really going to move. Interesting.
I got an email yesterday telling me to buy stock in moving van companies.
Well, yeah, there we go.
That was pretty fun.
I got some quick quotes here. Captain America star Chris Evans said, "This is an embarrassing night for America." John Cusack said, "The fascism is real."
I thought he'd say at least the Cubs won.
Snoop Dogg said, "Worst day in America was 9/11. Second worst day, 11/9, which was yesterday." Which I'm not sure what he means because it was the day before that Trump actually got elected, 11/8. Mayim Bialik from Big Bang Theory said, "My grandparents were immigrants who fled Hitler. I'm glad they didn't live to see the country they so loved embrace this platform of hate." Jesse Williams, who's on Grey's Anatomy, said, "Tradition over truth, arrogance over info, fame over decency, white male power over everything. Being horrible is a culture." And
this is just like the caller we had. You just name calling.
TV producer,
stupid
creator and writer Shonda Rhimes said, "Really, people? Anyone can be president? Anyone? Anyone?" That's what they tell us when we're kids. Katy Perry said, "The revolution is coming. Rise up. Power to the people."
Oh, man.
So essentially she's saying, you know, overthrow the government, which if you do it peacefully, won't get you in jail. But if you don't, will. Seth MacFarlane said, "A climate-denying, anti-equality, anti-reproductive rights establishment has been installed. So, yes, we're allowed our online meltdowns." Well, you know, I mean, everybody's allowed an online meltdown because you're free to click away from it if you want.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's go back to the phones. Pro Life. Good morning, Pro.
Yes. You know, Hillary Clinton won. It looks like she won the popular vote. And in other words, she got more votes. She didn't get over 50%.
You know, that's the first time that the word popular has ever been used to describe Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I know. She isn't very popular in my estimation. She's a big baby killer. Well, anyway, I saw one statistic that had her ahead in popular vote by, I think it was 146,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in California and Oregon, you can vote with your driver's license, and nobody can tell me that there isn't maybe even 146,000 people in Oregon and Washington that are illegal aliens that voted. And that would erase all of that, and Trump would have actually got more popular votes.
Now, in Oregon, you know, they only have mail-in voting.
Yeah.
And if you forgot to mail yours by a couple of days before the election, you have to take it down and deposit it somewhere. But there's no actual showing up and voting in Oregon at all.
Right. And so, I mean, if you can vote with a driver's license, that is not right. And, of course, you don't have to take your birth certificate to get a driver's license. In California, you just declare whether you're a citizen or not, or you can register right there. And
are you saying, despite the fact you won, the fix is in?
Of course I'm saying that.
Come on.
It's obvious.
Come on. What difference does it make? You won.
No, it doesn't, because all of these people are now saying the popular vote winner should win.
No, it's not going to happen. They said the same thing when Gore got more votes than Bush. It's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. Have a sandwich.
Well, they used to say that you shouldn't let your state legislature, your senate of your state legislature, choose your national senator. And then we got popular vote of senators. That used to be chosen by the state senates, all of our federal senators. All of these things can change.
Yeah. A lot of that changed before 1800, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there's a lot of voter fraud. It's obvious, especially with illegal aliens voting. And they don't. Right. If you break and enter into a country, you're going to vote too.
All right. Thanks, bro. I don't get it. They won.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why are they so angry?
Well,
Lee.
People are answering the protests, not the not the results.
Hi, Lee.
Good morning.
Hi.
First off, I'm an independent. I didn't vote for either one, but I'm happy, very happy that Trump won.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what my vote is in Idaho. I knew that.
No,
Trump
it doesn't really.
But, you know, I personally think that every state should have equal electoral votes. It wasn't that Hillary won a handful. I think she won something. I think I counted like 18 or 19 states is what she won.
Yeah, the only place where every state is equal is the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, exactly. So if neither one of them got to 270, it would have went to the House of Representatives, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Each state would get one. I think it should be that way, period. You know, just because you got millions and millions and millions of people in a single state doesn't mean that that state, in my opinion, is more important than Idaho.
Well, but then, a couple hundred people could determine a lot more than they should be able to. We are out of time, Lee. I'm sorry about it. Sound like a good call. Call back tomorrow. Open phones Friday.
Okay.
Thank you. Something to think about with Mike Rogers is next. Boy, did they flew by.
Yes,
brought to
did.
You by Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. See you tomorrow.
Now, something to think about with Mike Rogers.
Real America strikes back. The media, pundits, political classes in both parties got it so wrong again. The New York Times gave Hillary Clinton a 99% chance of being elected president. I guess it was one of those 1 in 100 kind of years. It looks like America finally reached its limit. The status quo brought us $19 trillion in debt, 45 million Americans on food stamps, a Washington that doesn't work for regular people, and diminished American influence overseas. Enough voters in both parties thought Hillary Clinton was more of the same. Middle America was willing to give a wide swath to the candidate who wanted to come to D.C. and break some china. Voters were well aware that Trump had said and done things that he shouldn't. To them, this election was bigger than that. Now let's hope the country can listen to each other and begin to heal. That scream from working class America was loud and clear. Let's just hope it's not deafening. Something to think about. I'm Mike Rogers.